your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Got a salute to an undersung king in just a moment here from the Golden One Center. First, little peek behind the curtains. We're up here. This is where the G-Man does his broadcast from.
Yep.
And then we have the medias here to would be to our right. And usually I'm a little further down here, the media section. And Sunday I was right back here, which is kind of where King's PR is headquartered. And I found out, I was just sitting there watching the game, and they start asking people who wants milkshakes. And I'm like, what? And I felt like I'm not part of that. But they're asking people who wants milkshakes, and I didn't know that existed. I made the mistake of telling Kyle a moment ago, and now he's like, well, I want in on that.
Yeah, exactly. Why wouldn't I want in on that? Like,
where are you? Aren't you? You're way. Where do you sit?
I sit down there.
Yeah.
I mean, I sit over there sometimes.
Right, right. I know. It's a little bit of a hike.
Why do you understand? When you're the mayor of Sacramento, the de facto mayor of Sacramento,
I
should be included in that.
You're like, right.
These are my people too.
Lee and Scott,
they're my guys. So, well, yes, why wouldn't I be included?
All right.
Well, then
you're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How come you didn't ask one for yourself?
I know, because that's what I felt like. Man, this must be some like long-standing tradition,
exactly.
And I felt like an interloper.
It's
you know,
2024, like... man. There are no rules out here. Oh, you got the hookup? Hook me up. That's my motto. Shoot. I'll do a milkshake. I already get dinner brought down to me in the second quarter. I eat it at halftime. Then they bring the milkshake.
Is it the same as what they bring you for lunch?
No.
Oh, okay.
What they bring me for dinner is.
Oh, okay. It's not what the rest of us get for dinner.
It's not what the commoners.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. I shouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
So, yeah, usually it's like some steak or something like that.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so. Hey,
you and Katie or just you?
Me and Katie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I take care of
my
people.
Because I do see her down there eating sometimes.
She eats pregame too, and then she'll take something home. Mm-hmm. But let's not get it twisted, Whitey. You were included on the pregame meal up here.
Oh, I know.
Out.
I know that.
You opted out.
Oh, I have no complaint at all about that.
All right. Just making sure. You
You've been
opted
very
out.
Nice. Yeah. Yes. Was it James brought me the big thing of popcorn last week?
Yeah.
It was very nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not complaining at all.
RJ, though, the dude will starve himself all day just because he knows he's getting a meal when he comes here. Look at him over there. Look at him.
That's a double dog guy over there. The double hot dog guy.
Oh, you're a double hot dog guy?
Yes. Double hot dog.
In one bun or?
Yeah.
Oh, snap. Okay. Okay. So this is your late lunch or early dinner, and RJ, and then that's your snack at halftime or whatever? Or how do you work that?
Here's RJ.
They don't bring me dinner at halftime. I don't. Perhaps I have to call the game or something.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got to.
You know, I'm not mayor.
But where
I'm
you get the double hot dogs from?
That's a halftime.
That's a halftime.
You in the media room. Yeah. Okay. Media room.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and I only did that once. I was hungry.
It was unforgettable, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So, anyway, there you go. I hope you get your shakes from now on.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't
wait. Guess who is a finalist for the NBA Sportsmanship Award?
My guy.
Yeah.
My guy.
Call.
Harrison Barnes, a model citizen, a guy that represents Sacramento well, represents the organization, and delivers on the court.
There are six finalists: Harrison Barnes, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Kevin Love, Jared Allen, Trey Jones, and Tyrese Maxey. I know a lot of people on Twitter or X were saying Mike Conley got snubbed here, but you don't hear a lot of people discussing who got snubbed in the Sportsmanship Award.
I feel like Mike Conley's there every year. You know, it's like Jordan with the MVP. You can give it to him every year. Sometimes you got to switch it up. I feel like Mike Conley's one of those guys that's on there every year.
So tell me, in your expert opinion, who would be the candidates? Maybe we don't have six. Maybe we do. The candidates for the NBA's Poor Sportsmanship Award.
Oh, Draymond would be.
Draymond. We might have to, like, just name it after him.
Right. The Draymond.
You don't
Green
get it, but we'll name it after you because you'd win every year. I would nominate, there's different aspects to sportsmanship. I mean, if you're going to whine all the time, I would nominate Luka.
Really?
He whines all the time. That's part of sportsmanship, isn't
it? Is that, I guess, arguing with the officials and whining to the officials. Okay, I thought you were going to say. I knew you were going to say that. Let me see what James brought today. What's up, big dog? Oh, you got the kettle corn, too. Thank you. The Act 2 microwave popcorn.
That way you got a bag of popcorn for
each stop.
Wow, look, that's for your road trip, huh? Nice.
This is love right here. This is family.
Uh-huh.
See, Whitey don't understand. He's like, Drapes, why you – dude. These are my people, man. This is my brother right here. We got golf, too, soon. So thank you, James.
All right.
Man, this guy every day is bringing us. That's awesome.
Wow.
See, got the
bringing you things for your road trip. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm not even going on a road trip. Like,
well, give that back. Give that back to James.
I didn't want to ruin the bit, though. I didn't want to ruin the bit. But, yeah, man. All right, so Draymond is on our list.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be unanimous. If you don't think Lucas should be on there, I can't put him on there.
I look at sportsmanship against other players, too. Like, but I get it, arguing with the officials, that he can be on the list.
Yeah.
He can be on the list. Dylan Brooks?
He hasn't – well, I mean, he's been very physical this year. Has he had any, like, out-of-bounds disputes? Am I forgetting anything? I guess we'd have to – I guess we have to
just
make
by
him.
Reputation,
we need,
right?
Yeah,
like you gotta. Is that it? You got
how
anybody
about,
else?
How about the big French center out of Utah? How about big Rudy Gobert? I'm sorry, not Utah anymore. Minnesota, Rudy Gobert.
Poor sportsmanship.
Yeah.
Why? What do you do? You just don't like him. That's what.
Well, I mean,
you going back to COVID,
he didn't punch
okay.
a teammate, but I guess that was last year.
We're talking this year. You just,
but this is the first year we've had the award.
No, we should rename this. This is the all-Whitey hate team. Like, he hates all these guys.
I didn't. You're the one that nominated Dylan Brooks.
But you don't like him either. You put him on.
I was
like,
not sure
right,
he should be on there.
Who else, though? I mean, you're not a Draymond guy, not a Luka guy. Clearly not a Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert ain't done a darn thing all season long. You're like, I'm going to throw him on. We're talking sports.
Hasn't done
a
darn thing all season long. How about when the Kings went into Minnesota and beat them? And what did he say? You know that the referees wanted Sacramento to win. That happened.
Oh, you know what?
He said that.
No, and not only that. Remember, he did this, too.
Yes.
Yes. All right. All right. I see.
Okay.
I'm making your case for you. I'm helping your argument out. All right.
Yeah, he absolutely
did that. He did the money sign with his finger.
Well, then Trey Young probably has to be on there, too, because he also
– He did that, too? Yeah, throw Trey on there. Man, this is – who else? Who else?
Yeah.
Anybody injure anybody on purpose?
Well,
they don't usually admit that.
Right.
Draymond and Embiid got tangled up, right? Was that Embiid and Draymond? Or
if you have any candidates for us for the NBA's first poor sportsmanship award so far in the ballot, we got Draymond, we got Luka, we got Dylan Brooks.
Somebody says, the guy from Detroit, Steven Torres, says, the guy from Detroit. Who are you talking about? Beef Stew? But that
Isaiah
was last
Stewart?
Year with LeBron, right? Did he do something?
He did
something
this year.
Oh, no, he did something this year.
Yeah.
Where they met in the back.
Yeah.
With, what's his
but
name?
But, hey, that's
Phoenix.
Off the court.
That doesn't count?
Well, I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, how about Bogdan Bogdanovich? Him and Quinn Snyder yesterday.
Ooh,
did you see that video?
No.
He got right up in Quinn Snyder's face during the
really?
Game. And they were winning the game.
His own coach?
Yes, his own coach. Look that up, my friend. He got right into his face and was yelling at him. That's.
I don't know if that's poor sportsmanship. Who knows?
It might have been
justified.
Right, he's one of your guys, right?
I mean, if that's the other team's coach, that's bad. But if it's your own coach.
You're going to put Quint Snyder on the list. His face shouldn't have been there. That's poor.
Well, see, if we did that, that would be two Atlanta Hawks on the ballot for poor sportsmanship award.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a pencil, but if I did, I would pencil in Isaiah Stewart.
Can coaches be a part of this? Ime Udoka. Remember the whole thing with LeBron and Ime, and he called him supposedly the B word on the set? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he said stop acting like one. And
that's right.
Yeah, that's poor sports. That crosses the line right there.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're covered now. Even if we decide Draymond, we're just going to name it for him, and he's not eligible, we still have six. So Draymond, Luka, Dylan Brooks, Rudy Gobert. Man, I can't believe how hard I had to work to talk you into Rudy Gobert, Trey Young, Isaiah Stewart and Ime Udoka. So Bogey's not on there yet.
Okay.
Bogey's not on there. And speaking of honors, you had this before I saw it. A member of the Kings organization, former member of the coaching staff, honored today.
Yes. Shout out to Lindsey Harding, named 2023-24 NBA G League Coach of the Year. The Stockton Kings head coach led the squad to a 24-10 record, best record in the league. And she gets this award from the G League coaches and general managers. They're the ones who vote on this award. And what's interesting, she becomes the first woman to win the award and the first woman of color to receive the recognition and the first Stockton Kings head coach to receive the recognition. So shout out to our girl, Lindsey Harding, G League Coach of the Year.
Yeah, last year the Kings had the Coach of the Year. This year they have the G League Coach of the Year. That's tremendous.
And, oh, it's interesting. They named the trophy after the late, great Dennis Johnson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, DJ. You remember DJ.
Uh-huh.
Dennis Johnson, the Dennis Johnson Trophy.
Great defender, Dennis Johnson.
Yes. Finals MVP, right?
With
the Sonics.
Good pull right there.
Yeah, remember that.
Yeah.
DJ was the man back then.
Yeah, we're coming to you, of course, from the Gold One Center. When we come right back, tell you why tonight for the Kings is a conditional must win. We'll explain next year. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
The Drive Guys powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Thanks for being with us. I want to thank Chris Watkins as well, the great Chris Watkins from Styles and Watkins. He just sent me the video, texted me the video of the Bogdanovich thing you were talking about. Bogey and Quinn Snyder.
Did you see that? What do you think about it?
I don't have a problem with it. It's loud in there. He had something important he had to say to the coach. It's loud. He had to make sure that the coach could hear him. That's a play on.
Okay. All right.
If anything, it's like, good for you for making sure the coach can hear what you had to say.
Showing some passion, too, out there.
Absolutely.
You know? No, that's terrible. I got one more for you. I got one more.
Okay.
Marcus Smart.
Oh, yes.
Remember, he got
getting a tee out of here.
He got ejected.
Yeah, when he wasn't even in uniform.
He wasn't even in uniform. That's
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I mean, he might be the leader in the clubhouse,
like,
right?
How do you get kicked out of the game? You're not even dressed for the game. Like, yeah, that's pretty bad sportsmanship right there.
Yeah, we're going to have to put that up to vote at some point here before we're all finished with this regular season. Speaking of tonight, is this, I think you might have said this yesterday.
Yeah.
A conditional must win for the Kings. Now, that means we won't know for sure, but if you want to avoid the play-in, this might be a must win tonight.
Yeah, I think 6-2, you may avoid the play-in. But the win's you got to beat the Pelicans and Suns. And looking at this schedule, Knicks on Thursday, Boston on Friday, I think this is a must-win.
Thanks, James.
James bringing you more. Dog, what do you got here, man?
Blue Diamond Almonds.
Too much stuff out here, man. This is terrible, bro.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Blue Diamond Almonds, that's tremendous.
James is
smart snacking.
He's carrying this bit on for like the last month, but it's all good. It's all good. I think this is a must win. We're talking to avoid the play-in, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just think 6-2, anything less than that, and we got a poll running on YouTube right now, actually.
How's that going?
Our boy Nate put up a poll.
Nate is in for Jay today. Hopefully Jay is feeling better soon, and thank you, Nate, for filling in admirably.
8 games left. What do you think the Kings' record will be? 9% says 8-0. 9% says 7-1. 59% says 6-2 or 5-3. And then 23% says less than 5-1 wins. You can vote right now on the Sacktown Sports 1140 YouTube page. But I think it has to be 6-2 at worst to make it into the top 6.
I don't see him going 6-2. Maybe I'm not giving him enough credit, but that's a tall order right now when you look at the upcoming schedule.
So what are we playing the games for then? Were we just going to
That's just my opinion. It doesn't mean I'm right. But I think any way you slice it, we're both kind of saying that, if you want to avoid the play-in, this is perhaps an actual, honest-to-goodness must-win tonight.
Yes, it is. It is. And you know, even if you don't think, you know, you're going to avoid the play-in, at least get the top 7 seed. Like, you need this to, you know, at least get a top 7 seed. And so I think, you know, when you look at the schedule, you still got OKC, you still got Phoenix, you still got New Orleans. You know, this is a Clippers team. Sure, they've won three in a row, but, you know, no Kawhi Leonard, you match up well against. And you're at home, man. When are we going to start taking care of home court? And so I think they got to win tonight.
Yeah, I was when you said that, I started to say, well, they played a little better on the home court, but obviously after last week, you can't even go there at all. I was hoping that once they got settled at home this month, and they've had a handful of, you know, it's been an extended homestand, I thought, okay, now we're really going to see them get some traction at home. Obviously,
it has.
That hasn't happened, but be nice to grab one tonight. And that's why, as we said earlier, it'd be nice to see the fans.
Yes.
Go above and beyond, which they always do.
Yes.
But tonight, I think the team could really use that.
You know what's interesting when you look at, you know, Sacramento's home court and just record in general? I was doing my research. The Kings were 10-6 in the month of March. That was their best month out of any season long.
Really?
But it feels bad, right? It feels
10
like
6 doesn't blow you away.
It doesn't blow you away, and it feels worse than that, to be honest with you. But this was their best month of the season.
It probably was by far their best defensive month, right?
Yeah.
As far as the defensive rating goes.
And I think really those last two losses to Dallas like weighs heavily on them so much.
Yeah.
You know, if it was a loss against, you know, Orlando and somebody else, but you beat Dallas, then the 10-6 feels a lot better. I think those two losses are sticking with us right now.
Let me ask you a very difficult question, because depending on how you feel here, the truth here might not be pleasant. Is it possible here without Malik that this thing kind of starts to backslide on them? I'm not saying they're going to miss the playoffs, but could they possibly miss Malik so much that they really are having a hard time staying competitive from here going forward against some of the better teams? I mean, it's on the board, right? I don't anticipate it, but it's on the board.
It's definitely on the board, but I could also say that even with Malik healthy, that was on the board. Like, going to New York, going to Boston, playing the Pelicans, we've been healthy in those games, and they've still, you know, kicked our butts. And so I think Malik, you know, sort of adds to that, obviously. Yeah, it could go sideways. This is a tough schedule. Let's keep it real. This is tough. Like, these next three games, you know, you talk about it going sideways. That's why tonight's so important. And so, yes, it could go sideways here, you know, these last eight games of the season.
Unless something unforeseen happens. I tend to agree with Harrison Barnes. I don't think it's going to be as simple as, well, pick player. He's going to fill in and make up the difference for Malik. It is going to have to be more from this guy, a little more from that guy, even more from the two best players on the team, as we've discussed. But there's no one guy that's going to, all right, Keegan or whomever.
Yeah.
Now it's up to you to pick up that entire scoring load. That's not realistic.
It's not realistic. But if one guy can do it, it's Keegan. Like, come on, Whitey. We started off the season with high hopes for this guy.
Right.
And it's not 14 to 15 people. We were talking 17, 18 a night. Mm-hmm. Our boy Campeo is talking 23 to 29. Now, that's kind of a stretch, but, man, if he can just develop that killer instinct, that selfishness to an extent where he's aggressive with the ball, I think that takes some of the pressure off Fox, some of the pressure off Sabonis. And let's keep it real. That's what we're doing on this show. We're keeping it real. Domantas Sabonis isn't a heavy volume scoring kind of guy. Can he score 25? Can he score 30? Yes, but that's not in his nature. So without Malik, who's our second bona fide scorer on this team after De'Aaron Fox?
Where is Keegan right now? And I should know this. Is he still at about 15 a game?
Yeah, I got the numbers right here. I'll pull it up. Doing my research for tonight's matchup, Keegan Murray is at 15 points per game.
Yeah.
Over his last 10, it's 17 points per game.
Okay, now we're talking. I mean, if you want to talk about him maybe 20-plus the rest of the way, that's reasonable. But if we're talking about 20, what did Campeo say,
23 to 29?
I mean, yeah, I see where he's coming from, but that's not, to me, that's just not realistic to hope for that. But if he scores more, and as you said, as we've discussed, if Domas can find a way, maybe it's just a matter of taking that 15-foot jump shot more than he's been willing to. If HB can continue to up his scoring group effort, to me, that's the way it has to be done if it's Keegan averaging 30 points a game the rest of the way, I don't think it's going to happen. I'd love to be wrong.
No, you're probably right. You're right about that. But 20's not too much to ask for, right?
I agree.
20's not, because he's going to have more opportunity now. Like, he should, the ball should find him more, you would think, now. But with that being said, and we talked about it earlier, Fox has to score more. Sabonis has to be more of a threat offensively.
Yeah.
It's not just on Keegan. Like, you know, I think really first and foremost, our stars have to be better.
Don't you think that after tonight, we're probably going to have a clearer idea of what their chances are going forward? I mean, we may see something tonight that's like, yes, that's going to work going forward. Whereas if they, you know, again, if they backslide tonight, if they just aren't able to mount a challenge, then we're going to know that, all right, this is going to be rough sledding the rest of the way.
Yeah.
So, again, key game tonight.
Key game tonight. And I think tonight more so than those next two that I keep bringing up, you'll learn more from tonight than Thursday and Friday against New York and Boston. Maybe New York. Boston, I'm sorry. I'm out on that one. I apologize.
You got burnt badly the last time they played Boston.
I got PTSD when we faced Boston, man.
Wasn't that the, give me that box score. Get that out of here.
That was that game. Oh, that was an awful night for me, man. And that's the one Cedric Maxwell came over.
That's right.
Then he came over to my booth. It started cursing and everything.
Yeah,
and
you said, come here. Get out of here.
Right. So, yes, I got PTSD with these guys. And so I'm not looking forward to that one. But what if we surprise people, Whitey? What if we win tonight and on Thursday? Those would be two massive wins, I think, for this Kings.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's doable. I don't know. Maybe I know the Knicks are a really tough team, and they're having a nice season, and Tibbs has turned them around. I just still think they're beatable.
You don't?
I do. I think they're beatable.
You think?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with you. Yeah. I agree. I think it's going to be tough.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be, you know, the style of play, hard nose. I think it's going to be tough.
And I do think that's the style that the Kings are going to have to continue to embrace.
Right.
Tighter and tighter. That's because they're going to have to just out-scrap teams going forward.
But you can't out-scrap the scrappers, can you?
You have to.
And you know, that game against the Knicks when it was here, I thought the Kings played well. I thought they showed something. But it's like being a boxer. You know what I mean? Are you trying to outpunch Mike Tyson? Is that what we're trying to do?
That would be ludicrous.
Right, ludicrous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think there's anybody right now, if you're Coach Brown, do you look down your bench or you're just thinking, I think Duarte's going to get his chance, or Colby, or somebody who hasn't been playing much, who you feel like, all right, this is their moment. I like their chances to shine.
I don't think so. I'm not. Although they did recall Colby.
That's not the answer I was hoping for, but I appreciate your honesty.
I think, you know, the rotation, I expect it to be pretty tight tonight. I expect Davion off the bench. I expect Trey off the bench. I expect Sasha, and I expect Alex Lynn. I think Mike will go with 9 tonight. And, you know, depending on, obviously, the situation, if you need some defense, maybe a Kessler Edwards. But I think a guy like Chris is maybe one of the odd men out. And Mike will always give people a chance, you know.
Yeah.
It will surprise you and, hey, come on in situational. But I don't know, man. I think the guy, I think, who can really – how should I put this? Impact the game. Look out for Davion Mitchell tonight. He's been playing so much better as of late. I thought he played fantastic against Utah. Only had 8 points. But he's looking for a shot out there, and he's competing defensively, obviously. I look for Davion to be an X factor.
And didn't Jerry Reynolds, when he joined us, didn't he say that Trey Lyles has an opportunity
here?
Yeah.
Yes.
If he can get back to being like Trey Lyles, he could have a huge impact.
Right. We missed Trey. A big part, because, and we saw it second half against Utah, he made 3 threes. You know, he's a guy that can stretch the floor. I think him and Sasha will need their scoring.
Meanwhile, a former King has officially announced his retirement, and so we'll evaluate his career, underrated, overrated, or properly rated. Turns out he's a guy that Kyle Draper very familiar with. We'll tackle that next year from the Golden 1 Center Drive, guys. Zach Towns, Sports.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
If you're an NBA fan, if you've been a fan for a while, you've probably heard here or there or read about a player on this team or that team coming off an injury and being cleared for five-on-five play. And maybe you've wondered what that was. I think a lot of people assume, oh, he's scrimmaging with the team. That's not necessarily what five-on-five is. We're seeing some of that right now. We're witnessing the Clippers with some five-on-five drills, which is some players like Bones Highland who just had a nice baseline dunk.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, I mean, all good players, but you got coaches out there, right? It's five-on-five, but it's not all NBA
player. NBA player, it's not five-on-five with your whole team.
Yeah, but it's
like
very
that.
Competitive. Yeah.
It is, and, you know, that was Dante Jones, former NBA player, knocking down that corner jumper. So you have some talent out there, yeah.
Right, right. But it's interesting when you hear about this guy or that guy. He's cleared for five-on-five. Sasha, speaking of injuries, you think Sasha's good to go tonight? I know he played a little bit last game. You think maybe
I think so, right?
Yeah,
right. I think he got to be good to go. I mean, I thought he looked good out there the other night. He moved well, had some deflections. I thought he competed, you know, and he's not even listed on the injury report at all.
There we go.
Yeah, he's good to go tonight.
He maybe could have played a few more minutes, but Domas needed his double-double, so, you know, which is great. There's a former King who has announced his retirement. To me, he's one of those guys who you look at and go, wow, I didn't realize he accomplished all that. But before we get to that, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. TC is back with us. How you doing, TC?
Man, hey, I'm back. Drake, what's going on?
TC, what's up with you, fam?
Oh, man, just vibing, Whitey, you know. So check it out. Hey, as far as the Kings, bro, like I said the other day, look, check it out. We need – it's going to be a team game. You get me? We're going to need all hands on deck with these guys, man. I truly believe we're going to win tonight by 7. But listen, check it out. If we can get the fifth seed, fourth, that's all out of – unless everybody fall off the face of the earth. But six – is maybe right there, but y'all, check it out. If we got to get in with 7, let's not drop no less than 7. That's where our minds should be like, look, bro, we're not dropping no less than 7, and we're going to get it. We're going to win our first game, and we're going to get in the playoff series, and we're going to make some noise. But if we lose, it's like a win. The Kings, as far as like Kings, we're in a win-win situation, if you look at it. If we get 7 or 8, okay, we get 2 games. We got 2 shots at it to win to get into the playoffs. That's how I take it, bro. But I'm not looking at it like, oh, it's going to be a failure if we don't get in. I'm not looking at it like that, y'all. I'm looking at it like we got to get in, however we going to get in, and we're going to make some noise. That's all I got.
Thank you, TC.
TC,
I agree.
Okay, a win-win, yeah. Huh?
You get in the play-in, and then you get out of the play-in. That's fine.
That
doesn't
fine,
matter. You're still
you're
playoff
still in
team.
The playoffs, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we're talking so much about, we got to avoid the play-in. And no, not necessarily. Your goals are still there.
You'd sure like to, but the way it looks right now, you might have to settle for it.
Yeah, and, you know, we had Jerry on, and, you know, the Lakers last year, play-in team. The Heat. Play-in team. And, you know, think about it. He went all the way to the NBA Finals. Lakers went to the Conference Finals. And so even if they get the 7th seed or the 8th seed, doesn't mean the season's over and, oh, man, all you got to do is win 1 game, and then you're actually in the dance.
And we were talking earlier about the fact that the play-in this year is, what, the 16th through the 19th,
yeah.
And the playoffs start the 20th. But my point is, if you play that 7-8 game and you win – you get a few days off.
Get those days off.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, from a coaching standpoint, and I know they'll prepare no matter what, but you know who your opponent is a few days earlier, you know, and you can really lock in practice and scout and everything like that. And so, you know, even if they finish 7 or 8, just win that game. Win that first game. Get into the big dance and let's go.
I wanted to know what you thought of this former King. He hadn't played in a while. Hadn't played since 22, but he was on Matt Barnes on his podcast and made it official. Rajon Rondo says, yeah, I'm done. I'm finished. It's time to step away and wants to spend more time with his kids. How about the career that Rajon Rondo had?
Unbelievable career. And, you know, you talk about a savant, high basketball IQ.
High IQ, period.
Period. Yes, period. And, you know, people, you know, you talk to people around the league, they say him and LeBron James, and you could throw Chris Paul in that, in terms of basketball IQ, ability to think the game, unbelievable. And
you know him going way back to
high school. Well, at Kentucky, actually. Uh-huh. He started at Kentucky. I used to work in Louisville, and I was at his draft party that night in Louisville, Kentucky. So him and I go way back. And the thing about Rondo, he had some great years in Boston. They won the championship in 2008. He was the starting point guard with Hall of Famers Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. And you talk to them and talk to anybody within that organization, Rondo was the key to that team. Think about that. You're a young point guard. I think it was only his second year, maybe. And you're a young point guard. You got those big personalities.
Yeah.
And you got to, you know, feed them the ball and make sure everyone's happy. And he did a hell of a job. And I'll also throw in there, I do believe it was the 2012 series, Heat-Celtics. Rondo was the best player in that series until he fractured his elbow.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was that series. He fractured his elbow. And Whitey, real quick, he's a guy that's played on a torn ACL.
Really?
Yeah, in the game against the Hawks, he tore his ACL, kept playing, and then it was found out afterwards.
Wow.
That's what happened. I mean, the dude was tough as nails.
Two-time champ. Once with Boston, once with the Lakers. Yeah. I think he was a four-time All-Star.
Yeah.
And then, 16 seasons in the NBA.
16?
Nine of which were with the Celtics. Played 1 year here. Didn't go well. He and DeMarcus were not big fans of the head coach at the time, George Karl. Mm-hmm. I think he led the league in assists that year, but it was clear that that's pretty much what he was playing for when he was here. It was
getting
lead
the
league. Yeah, in assists. One thing I'll never forget about Rondo, and I don't know him nearly as well as you do, but just reading about him, Doc Rivers saying, I think it was Doc Rivers, it was one of his coaches, saying he's so smart. He said, Rondo would ask me a question, but he knew the answer. He just wanted to see if I did. He would ask about the offense or what we do, and he said, oh, he knew.
Yes.
But he wanted to see if I knew.
Yeah, he was so smart. And, you know, from a coaching standpoint, think about that. Guy like George Karl you're playing for. That doesn't mix well.
Right.
Rick Carlisle in Dallas. Didn't mix quite well because Rondo was so smart and at times, you know, maybe he thought he knew more than the coaches.
Yeah.
As well. And so, no, it's a great career, you know, a great defensive player. You know, you brought
that's
up.
That's right, a great defensive player. Because when he was here, he wasn't.
Yeah.
But early in his career, he was.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you a quick story about his time in Boston. You bring up Domas and the double-double going for the rebound and Mike Brown keeping him in and putting him. Well, Doc did the same thing with Rondo in Boston. Rondo had a double-digit assist streak. I think it was like 38 or 39. Blowout. They're in Detroit. Doc puts him back in. And everybody's like, why would you do that? And so that was one of those things that, you know, at the time people are like, oh, man, they're more focused on getting stats than actually winning. And so I remember that game very well, very well.
Would you say underrated, overrated, or properly rated Rajon Rondo?
I would say underrated.
Wow.
I would say an underrated basketball player. I look at a team like the Lakers right now or, you know, even Boston – you know, before this year, before they got Drew, like, they needed a point guard like Rajon Rondo, somebody that brings it all together, somebody that controls the flow of the game, somebody that's a leader. And I think Rondo is an underrated leader as well. Sure, he was stubborn. He was hard-headed. Him and I, you know, bumped our heads a couple of times. But in between the lines, man, he was a baller.
Mm-hmm. He also said on the podcast from Matt Barnes that so the true point guard is dead now.
Yeah, and it really is.
He was one of the last ones who really was a true, let's get the team into their offense and run the offense point guard.
It really is dead. I can't even think of, you know, a true point guard anymore in the league. Even, like, you look at Boston, Drew Holiday. He's a true point, but he doesn't play that role, like, with the South. Like, the days of Chris Paul, you know, orchestrating the offense, they seem to be over.
The game has just evolved to the point where, you know, centers are different. Those used to be the two most important positions, right? Point guard and center, and both of them have changed dramatically as the game has evolved.
Yes. And, I mean, nowadays, basically what you're seeing is the offense being run through the best player or the best passer, and it could be a center. Look at Denver. Look at Sacramento. It could be a wing player. Look at, you know, LeBron's a point guard, even though, you know, he's 6'9". And so it's just a different game right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned Domas' double-double streak, and as that streak has gone on, we've been talking all season long about Kings franchise legend Jerry Lucas.
Yes.
I actually have a message for Kings fans from Jerry Lucas.
What?
Yes. I didn't have anything to do with it, okay. But I found this. It's a message for Kings fans from Jerry Lucas. We have that for you next year. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Wendy Gleason, Kyle Draper. Drapes, I just got word from Nate that there's somebody on the phone that may have a beef with you. And I know sometimes you're non-confrontational.
I didn't even anything.
Sometimes you'd rather, like, I don't really want to. So I just wanted to give you the option.
No, I'm ready for the smoke. Like, I don't know what I did,
I know you are.
What I said, but
no, I'm not
they
sure.
Better come correct. Whoever
I'm not
it is,
sure.
They better come correct.
Let me do the Jerry Lucas thing first, because then once you get into it with somebody, it could go any which way.
Yeah,
and I want a little nice positive thing here.
Okay.
And then we'll see where we are with the disagreement. As you know, I've been trying to see if we could get Jerry Lucas, like, on the show,
yeah.
Maybe bring him out here. Jerry Lucas is a guy whose double-double records have been broken by Domas, his franchise records. Jerry Lucas was one of the 75 greatest players of all time. Kind of hard to track down, and I've been working on this angle, that angle. I know he turned 84 on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw this today at the Kings Herald. There's a commenter there, Houston JP, and he shared this story, and I couldn't believe it when I saw it. Long story short, Houston JP says Jerry Lucas would leave tickets in Cincinnati for this guy and for his dad and for his uncle. And so he brought his uncle up to speed on Domas. I guess his uncle's still in Cincinnati, okay? So he tells his uncle, hey, this is what's going on with Domas and you know, Jerry's record's being broken. And so he tells his uncle that. Then he says, I got a call from my uncle the next day before the Kings game. He had talked to Jerry Lucas, who was happy to hear about Domas breaking his record.
Okay.
And Jerry Lucas had heard about Domas play this season on ESPN during several broadcasts during the season. Jerry Lucas says to pass along to Kings fans not to give up on the team.
Okay.
And to enjoy the physical artistry of current NBA players.
The great Jerry
Lucas. Getting that close.
Man.
To get Jerry on the show, maybe out here, but Jerry Lucas says Kings fans do not give up on this team.
And he's aware of Domas.
Yes.
It, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Dude, that's something you've been trying to track down.
Yeah.
You've been on this.
Still got some pizza left in the box, but we're getting
almost there.
Yeah.
Getting closer.
Don't you think when he played in the 60s and the 70s, he probably had all those double doubles. No one said, "Hey, you got this many double doubles."
Right. Right?
It wasn't a thing.
Why do you think that is now? Like, are we obsessed with records now?
Yes.
So then,
yeah. Stats,
you know, and everything.
We all need something to talk about.
Look at the box score, right?
Yeah, that's right. Get that out of here. Give me that box score. Get it out of here. Yeah. So, somebody probably, Jerry Lucas probably, you know, he found out, oh, the guy broke my record. I didn't know I had that record.
Right. No, you're
good
right
for
about
him.
That. Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll find out, but I just wanted to share that. Now, Javier from Vacaville joins us. My sources say he may have an issue with you. I don't know.
I doubt it, but let's hear it.
Javier, you're on with the Drive Guys. What's going on, sir?
How you doing, Mr. Gleason and Mr. Drake? So hopefully in the pre-season show, I'll be there. I'll just let you know, Mason Jones only has 7 games left on his two-way, so he is running out of days. In fact, like I said, I was correct. I know you.
Dude, it's only 8 games left. It's the end of the season.
Yeah,
like, it's the end of the season.
He'll be a game short of finishing the season, and he won't be playoff eligible, like I said, but it's all good. You can cut me off. But I was saying about the Pelicans, the record that the Kings have currently, they win tonight, they're 1 game out of the win column. Pelicans' current schedule.
Get him out of here.
We lost you, Javier.
This guy is not even prepared.
Yeah.
He got the iPhone 2 calling in. Come on, Javier.
I think what happened was we lost. I know Javier just from on the air. I've never met Javier. I know him from talking to him.
Yeah.
Just like we just did. I'm sure that something happened there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I guess his beef with you was, yesterday he said something about Mason Jones.
It's 8 games left. He's like, it's running out. And I'm like, dude, it's 8 games left. What are you talking about?
What he told me when I screened the call was that he thinks the Kings can leapfrog the Pelicans. And he wanted to call you out because he interpreted that Drapes thought that the Pelicans are locked in their spot and the Kings don't stand a chance. But I didn't.
Okay.
You know, that's his argument.
I never, come on.
Thank you. Thank you,
Nate. You got to do a better job screening these calls, man. You're just letting anybody on the air.
Oh, I would have put him on with him.
You would have been.
Javier.
I mean, he knows. Javier knows, obviously, things didn't go his way there, but he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, but no, he doesn't, because nobody, when they talk about standings, I guarantee you, no one ever in the history of talking about standings says we're one behind in the win column. He told on himself right there, Whitey. The win column doesn't matter. It's about the loss column.
You make a good point.
Right?
Because the loss column, once you've lost, you can't make that up.
Right. You can't make that up. Yeah. It's about the loss column. It's not about the win column right now, Javier. So he told on himself.
He said he's going to be here tonight, so maybe we'll see him.
Dude, I'm not up there at the pre and post. I'm going to make sure security stops him. You know, because he came in with some smoke for me today, huh?
That was his intention. Western Conference loss column now. Dallas has 29 losses. Pelicans 30. Suns 31. Kings 31. Lakers 33. Warriors 34. So that's where that is as far as the loss column. And of course, Pelicans, as we've said over and over and over, they have the tiebreaker. We don't know who's going to have the tiebreaker between the Kings and the Suns or the Kings and the Mavericks. Still to be determined.
Yeah, we don't know. And you know, the Pelicans, one game in the loss column, which really equals two because they have the tiebreaker, Javier. Got me angry, man.
What about the Mason Jones thing and how many days he has left on his two-way?
What do you say? He got 7 days and there's 8 games left to go? What are we talking about?
It's all right, Javier. Yeah. Thanks for checking in. We have this on the chat. Family Schlegel says 7 would not be bad because it is 2 home games. You know, so fans, it's interesting.
Yeah, home games.
You can hear and see fans trying to, and I don't know where Family Schlegel has been specifically, but Kings fans now are trying to, you know, kind of reshape some of their expectations given the events of last week.
Yeah, and rightfully so. As new information comes in, you sort of, you know, reshape your expectations. And especially with the loss of Malik Monk, I mean, that's massive. If we can hold on to the 7th seed, I take that. That's a win. And then hopefully you win that first game and you get in. I mean, think about the injuries that they've had. You know, 2 of their top 6 players have gone down in the last 2 weeks, you know. And so and seeing where the standings are and losing against Dallas, I think we have to reshape our expectations. Mm-hmm. If we're still holding to the same expectations as we did in game 1, we're going to set ourselves up for a letdown.
And I think that could be something the team benefits from. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I think they've played like expectations sometimes were a little too heavy for them this year. Now you have none of those expectations. Epic Airbees on the chat says, I'd like to see some more breakout play from our guys filling in for the loss of Monk. And we have this from Truth or Troll Sports Podcast, pardon me. Halliburton is the true point guard.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. G-Man. How are you?
G-Man is in the building. Oh, you got your playoff suit on tonight. You're expecting a big game. That's pretty nice. I like that. G-Man is ready. Halliburton, the true point guard. This Truth or Troll says LaMelo also. So there's a couple of them out there.
Yeah. LaMelo, I don't know about Tyrese is close. You know, the old days, point guards, like they barely shoot.
Yeah.
Luke Ridnour, guys like that.
Yeah. Nowadays, you got to score.
Uh-huh.
You got to score at that point guard position. Yes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Kings here, they have, 8 games that might give them a head start on next season. Are the next 8 games a preview of a future without Malik? We'll tackle that rather unpleasant topic when we come back to the Golden 1 Center Drive, guys. Kings and Clippers tonight, a big one on Sacktown Sports.